So then we formed a thing called Oklahoma Trauma Research Society. It had Jack O'Brien, Henry Zero, and CT and myself, whoever was head of the Department of Transportation for the state and stuff like that. We started training people everywhere from Burns Flat, Oklahoma. It was Army Air Base in World War II. Out of Burns Flat, and now it's a low tech school. We brought people all from Western Oklahoma, and we taught them down at the Pump Pond, the Kansas City Southern Railroad Park, where they put water in their engines. They had a hall there. We taught Indians, and the head Indian ambulance driver, they called Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread, Wonder Bread, come in. I said, why the devil do you call him Wonder Bread? He said, because he's an eight-hour loaf. So we trained ambulance people all over this park. Then came radios.
What you're describing is the birth of EMSA. Is that true?
Yes, yes. I just want to talk about radios. I had this ham radio thing, and we were on CBs, and that doesn't work. What happened was, we kept talking, kept talking, kept talking, and finally the Motorola guy said, I want you to sell your program. I want you to sell your program. I was calling it HEAR, Hospital Emergency Ambulance Radio. They flew me out to the Baltimore Hunt Club outside of Baltimore to talk to all these high muckety-mucks with Motorola. And I gave my song and dance. They said, you know, there's a market for this because there's no way an ambulance can talk to a hospital. You know, nobody can talk. And you're talking about the solution. We can do it with ham radio. We can do it with CBs. But you need to do it. And by God, they went and got one frequency, 55340. It's the only one they could get. And we started. General Electric said, hey, if they're doing this, we're going to do it. And it happened. And that's gone up to UHF rather than VHF.
Could we say then that Henry Zero made a lot of this happen with that check?
Absolutely, yeah.
He would be the father of this.
Of telemetry in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that's right. Or the guardian angel or something.
St. Francis and W.K. Warren, he knows that all this is going on.
Oh, yeah.
And encouraging as well, I would imagine.
Simple marching orders, simple.
Just get it done.
Get it done. We want a first-class hospital.
You wanted to put the emergency room in the front of the hospital with a flashing neon sign.
That's right.
How did that go over?
It didn't, because this is a really fine place for nice people. And my point was, if Dad cut his arm trimming the hedge or something, he's all wrapped up with a bloody towel, Mama's driving and she's about ready to have wrecks, why make him drive all the way around the back? Instead, why don't you put it right up front with flashing red lights, emergency, emergency, be open, and they can just drive right in and say, oh, thank God we made it. I used to tell this to Lloyd Verrett and all of them. A general surgeon and a hospital administrator went to a meeting, and the question is, what is in the back? Always smelly, always busy, and nobody wants to go there. The general surgeon says, a rectum. And the administrator jumps up and says, an emergency room. And they wouldn't do it. Cancer trumped. The cancer center went out front. So that was a greater priority.
We could point out that St. John does have it right there in the corner.
Yeah, sure.
Probably like you would have liked to have seen
it. Yeah, sure.
We should go further back here before the birth of EMSA, that funeral homes were actually running ambulance services.
Funeral homes were running ambulance services. Whoever got there first could claim the ambulance trip or the dead body until otherwise changed. So they actually had ambulance races to scenes, and they would get there and have fist fights. Stuff hit the scene, and they'd have to be broken up by local police or the state highway patrol or somebody.
Elsewhere on this website, I've interviewed Joe Moore of Moore Funeral Services. He's no longer with us, but he talked about that, and he was in on those races to the bodies. He talks about that. I might also mention that Dr. C.T. Thompson has also been interviewed for this website, and you might consult that. So let's continue. And then how did EMSA come
about? What happened was the world changed, and everybody wanted more documentation, more and more verification, and more this and that. And cost went up. Pat Mace of Central Ambulance needed money, additional money to come in. He wasn't going to run this as a charity. Reimbursement was very poor. Mayor LaFortune was now in office. And Mace literally was asking for $250,000 in $1 bills in a brown paper sack. No questions asked. He said, nobody will ever complain about my ambulance service. And they wouldn't. I mean, he was a salesman. He could pull that off. But that just couldn't go on. You know, that just couldn't go on. So he threatened several times to take the ambulances off the street. You don't threaten LaFortune. So he called me and said, what do you think we can do? I did some checking and found out that we could go volunteer, go fire department, or we could find another private guy we dealt with. But there was a new thing coming called private-public operations, where the city actually owned the radio towers, the dispatch centers, the equipment, all the rolling equipment, all the supplies. You put an ad in the Wall Street Journal looking for a company supplying ambulance attendants. So many EMTs, so many paramedics, on a 5-year contract, make bids. I was out at Oral Roberts. I love people that are podium speakers. They used to have these crazy things, these motivational lectures out there. Zig Ziglar was one of my favorites. Get a checkup from the neck up and all that stuff. I'd cancel my office and I'd go out to listen to these guys. By now we had pagers. My pager went off and said, call Mayor LaFortune right away. So I called him and he asked me what I'm doing. I said, well, I'm out here. And I said, the next speaker is going to be Bob LaFortune, motivational speaker. And he laughed and said, well, I'm not coming. You got to come down here. So went down there, and there he was, and there was Bat Mace with his shoes off, reading a book. And his feet were up on the coffee table. So I walked in and I said, what's going on here, man? The mayor said, you're going to have to ask him. And he said, I just came up here to hold the mayor's feet to the fire and make him tell the truth. That's exactly what he said. I said, Pat, you don't tell Bob LaFortune something like that. You just said goodbye. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. And he said, then it's goodbye. What are you going to do? I said, well, how long will you stay with us? He said, I'll stay with you till I need to be gone. And he got up. He said, call me for coffee. I said, okay. We called these consultants in, did this project. LaFortune said, who are you going to have on the board, on the IMSA board? I said, oh, Dick Horky. He's always hot in the health issues. We'll get Art Wallace, who's running the emergency room down there at Osteopathic, and get some civilians in here. In those days, we had commissioners, get a commissioner in. So we did that, and we started off, and we were really good. We were really good board. Then we went so far as to even hire Steve Williams. He makes a paper every other day now.
So he was the original?
No, he came in. Well, I guess he came in pretty close to the beginning, yeah.
Steve Williams is still the current director of IMSA.
Yeah. So then what happened was all the contracts went out, and they all came back, and Mace did not enter one. They picked this company and issued it to it, and they said they could be in business in 90 days. That's the way it went. I went to the old Otasco store down on 11th or 15th to buy a tire for my boat. I was down on my hands and knees looking for a tire, and I saw these big feet next to me. It was Pat Mace. And I stood up. He said, do you need help down there? I said, no, I'm just buying a tire for my boat. Well, he said, I'm not here to say goodbye. I'm just sorry all this had to happen. And I said, well, me too. We're still friends. And he shook hands, and we just remained friends. Isn't that interesting? He just got out.
It had to happen because you're going to be far more professional and regulated.
Absolutely.
And that's why it had
Absolutely.
To happen.
Yeah. He didn't fight. He just gave up like a man.
That's the birth of IMSA.
That's it.
And today, in 2013, we might know IMSA is under a lot of fire because the fire department is not as busy as they used to be. When a call comes out, we almost have the same thing as when the funeral business was in business because we have fire departments rushing to the scene and we have IMSA rushing to the scene at the same time. So eventually, I guess, that's going to have to be worked out one way or another.
I think they are showing that they really have trouble at the top.
Of IMSA.
IMSA. Their board was inadequate, and they didn't watch their executive close enough. The beautiful thing about it is, actually, John Sacra, who's running the St. Francis Emergency Room, he took over as the medical director of IMSA and worked with the state. And I think Oklahoma's got, we're talking about the voices of Oklahoma, things have happened here. As a state, we've got more population covered by one ambulance service than any other state in the country. Because when you take Oklahoma City and all their suburbs and Tulsa and all their suburbs, this is big. This is really a big system that does very good care in the streets. I think that other people might like to have it. I visited many fire departments before I went along with all this, and I didn't feel comfortable with any of them. I can tell you why. Boston saw that that was a place where the old firemen went, the guys that couldn't carry hoses up three floors anymore, or were always a workman's comp problem, they could go over and drive the ambulances or something. They really held them in disrespect. That sort of thing went on. The only one that really was very positive about it was the fire chief in Houston, Texas. He was on the medical side rather than just the fire department money, size, issue. It did not appear that Tulsa would go that way. It would not go on the medical side. They would be more controlling in the fire department than they were with the medical departments. And I thought the ambulance business should remain medical.
If you were to be asked today,
let's still go with IMSA.